Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Commandments of successful relationships. The Ten Commandments of successful relationship. The Ten Commandments. And I believe that that word, Ten Commandments, is carefully chosen. It can't be 11 commandments. Amen. Even though I will give you 10 points. But the word Ten Commandments is not as much a count of the number of commandments, but as much an idea of how God wants us to posture around relationships that He has brought into our lives, or that He has brought us into. We understand that in the scriptures, there is what we call the Ten Commandments. These are realities that God wants people to live by. And then, even though in the Old Testament they look at it as though it's a command, but it is both a command and a guide. Alright, for example, part of the laws, this one is not Ten Commandments now. You know, there's only the Ten Commandments and the laws. Part of the laws that God gave people is the law that guides them in the choice of animals to eat. How many of you remember that? How many of you remember that? But if you don't understand, you will think that, of course, it is both because of consecration, but it's also because of health. Do you understand? Medical doctors have told us that the health challenge that people are facing today is related to the lack of attention that people gave to God's prescription on what to eat and what not to eat. So if you see that law on what to eat as and what not to eat as God trying to force you, alright, into doing what you don't want to do, or into not doing what you want to do, you will miss it. It is not really as much a law as it is a guide that will help you to be fine. But people don't, you see, people didn't understand it in those days. Right. Every of the commandments and laws. But that's not where I'm going this morning. But I just want you to reevaluate your perception of the commandments and laws. They are not actually supposed to depict a God that is forcing us into doing something or not doing something, but a God that loves us so much as to put prescriptions and guidance and guidelines in place, not for the profit of Him, but for the profit of ourselves, so that we can live a healthy life, a blessed life, and a successful life. Did somebody get what I just said now? Alright, so if we say the Ten Commandments of successful relationship, we are not talking about a forceful laws. These are the things you must obey. No, it's not as much about that as it is about our attitude, our disposition towards the prescriptions that God is giving us to ensure that our life is healthy and our life is progressive. Praise the Lord. So that's why I said it's not 9 commandments, it is not 11 commandments, it is 10 commandments. So that word 10 commandments is a standalone statement. It's a standalone statement. Praise God. Some of you might be wondering, so it doesn't mean that we will have to be obeying commandments in relationships again. That's why I explained what I just explained. Do you understand? You're supposed to be obeying commandment laws. Thou shalt not kiss your brother and sister. Amen. Thou shalt not. people, some people are so they are so bored with thou shalt not. Thou shalt not sit together under a mango tree alone in the night by 11 p.m. So you think that's what I've come to tell you. Thou shalt not. So you keep watching time. It's not yet 11 p.m. It's still 11:55. I think we still have 5 more minutes to stay under the mango tree. Alright, so if you see it in that light, you will not understand the burden behind this teaching. Alright, so that's my introduction this morning. Praise the Lord. You may want to write this statement down that we are all relational beings. In case you are in service this morning, you are thinking, Pastor is talking about relationship between a man and a woman, male and female, courtship and the likes. Well, I'm talking partly about that, but I'm saying something much more, something wider, something deeper, of which I believe that if you learn it in this general sense, it will help you to narrow it down to your specific marital relationship, and of course it will help you to get the best out of it. Do you know the reason why people fail in marital relationships vis-a-vis courtship and marriage? It is because they don't even understand relationship generally. Do you understand? They don't understand relationship generally. So they have a narrow-minded view. So when we talk about relationship, they want to talk about boy and girl. But they don't understand what relationship actually should be about. So, just now when we talk about love, love is wide and general. So a brother or sister who does not understand what love really is, without the attachment of marriage or marital relationship, when he or she gets to relationship or marriage, he can't love correctly. Do you understand? So if I'm to teach you about to have a love life in your courtship and relationship, I should not be too quick to start teaching you about courtship and marriage. I should introduce you to general sense of love from the Word of God. Because if you understand it from that whole perspective, it will be a simple thing to translate it to your specific context of relationship and marriage. Somebody getting me this morning? So you don't say, Pastor, I came to hear something on marriage and relationship. This one is beyond marriage and relationship. Because if you understand this one, you are good to go. Praise God. So we are created as what? Relational being. God hasn't created us to be isolated beings. Praise the Lord. We have been created to function in a community. And when I mean community, once it's more than one, it has become a community. Because even our Father God functions in and from a community. Our God functions in a community. Our God functions from a community. And that was why he said it is not good that man should be what? Alone. Could it be that when God said it is not good that man should be alone, God wasn't thinking about marriage? Could it be? And I think so. Marriage was to come inside the equation, but God is not specifically talking about marriage. Praise the Lord. Did you get what I said? But you know, if a pastor or a teacher want to teach on relationship and marriage, he will say, it is not good that man should be alone, therefore go and marry. That is not what the Bible says. It is not good that man should be alone, therefore get vitally connected to relationships that will make your destiny to happen. Do you understand? Do you understand? So it is not good that man should be alone, therefore go and marry. It is actually that it is not good that man should be alone, therefore get yourself connected to vital relationships that will ensure your success in life and destiny. Do you understand? So don't summarize or conclude that Genesis chapter 2 as to mean that, you know, it is not good that man should be alone, therefore man should go and marry. Then it will mean that those who are not married or who are not supposed to be married, something is wrong with them. No. Hallelujah. So God has created us as what? Relational being. So trying to connect vitally in a relationship is not you trying to get something done. It's you trying to live in your habitat. Say habitat. When you see a fish who is trying to make its way inside water, it's not doing something exceptional, it's doing something expected. Do you understand? Because a fish knows that it cannot survive outside of water. So he has to get himself into that habitat or atmosphere or environment that he has been created to function in. So if we are teaching you about relationships, we are not asking you like a fish outside of water to get inside water for an adventure. We are teaching you to get inside water because you are created to function inside water. Do you understand? You are created to function inside a relationship or inside relationships. And let me quickly say this morning that relationship building or success is not a temperamental issue. It's an understanding issue. Alright, relationship building or relationship success is not a temperamental issue, first of all. It is what? An understanding issue. What do I mean? We must not be quick to bring in the idea of temperament into discussion of relationship as to make people, some people to think that because of their particular or peculiar temperament, they can't do well in relationship. How many of you have had people say like that? Say me, I'm not the up and down type. I'm not the vocal type. So the relationship, if I have to count me out. Mm-mm. Because if you immediately bring that idea, you will shut yourself away from the understanding I'm trying to pass across this morning. It's not a temperamental thing. That pastor, the reason why I've not gotten a sister to marry is because I'm too reserved. That's not the reason. It's because you don't understand relationship. Did you get that? Or the reason why no brother has proposed to me is because they say I'm a talkative. I talk too much. So that's why. So I need to reduce the way I talk. Well, that might be necessary. But the reason why a brother hasn't proposed is not because you are a sanguine. Do you understand? But because you don't understand relationship and how it works. So relationship building is not primarily a temperamental issue, but it's actually an understanding issue. Hallelujah. So that means everybody can succeed in a relationship, no matter your temperament. Anybody can succeed in a relationship, no matter your temperament. Not everybody will be loud. Not everybody will be bogus. Not everybody will be outwardly going. But everybody is supposed to make a success out of their connections with people. Did you get what I just said now? Everybody is supposed to what? Have you wondered why, you know, there are some people you look at so well that talofe really vibe. As in your carnal mind. I don't think I can cope with this kind of person. He's too quiet, too reserved. Amen. But you know, you are looking in the wrong direction. You are looking at that person based on his temperament, but look at him based on the understanding he has. Because you'll be shocked to know that people who don't have as good temperament as you, they are doing better than you because they know what you don't know. They know what you don't know. They know how to have their way with people. So relationship success is about knowing how to, when I mean have your way with people, I'm not saying how to take advantage of people. I'm saying how to relate or connect with people in such a way that, it furthers the program and plan of God for your life. Praise the Lord. The number 3 point I want to make this morning is that successful relationship is not a gift. Successful relationship is not what? It's not a gift. It is both a work and a responsibility. Successful relationship is not a gift. It is both a work and a responsibility. That you see your friend or your colleague at work having it so cool with the boss. Don't be quick to say, God just favored him. The boss just like him. The boss just this guy just is just is ah, this guy is gifted. This guy is very smart. This guy is just don't be too quick to say he's a gift. Understand that guy must have worked out something you are not working out. That guy must have taken some responsibilities that you are downplaying. It can be as simple as responsibility to develop himself or now to relate with people. So it didn't come to him as a gift. It can be a responsibility in ensuring that the relationship that he is in works no matter what. So it's not a gift. Even when you look at it in the context of marriage, that speaks on people are doing well, maritally is not a gift. Do you know what I mean by gift? A divine donation. That is God just gifted them. I wish God would look in my direction one day and gift me also this kind of bliss in relationship, marriage, or what have you. But if you start understanding that this person is having his way fine with his boss, this couple are doing fine, alright, this my friend, ever since he has been in this department, he hasn't had any problem with people, everybody just wants to be around him. Do you understand? It is not because he's exceptionally different or gifted than you are. It is because he has taken responsibility and he has seen it as a work that he must do. Do you understand? Because if you don't understand these dimensions, you may want to go and rest and sleep and say, after all, I don't have the temperament of a relational person. Hallelujah. Even deaf and dumb people can succeed in relationship. So in case you are thinking, because me, I cannot talk, that as well. What of those who don't have the capacity to talk? They are dumb. Because me, I cannot see properly. What of those who are blind? I mean, do you see blind people who are married? Blind people who are working for organizations? Amen. Haven't you seen deaf people who are making it in life? Haven't you seen handicaps who are married? So your problem is not being handicapped, your problem is not being deaf or dumb or whatever. Your problem is not your temperament. Your problem is that you don't understand relationship. And of course, you have not taken responsibility to work it out. Hallelujah. So why God can bring people into our lives by his providence or sovereignty, our ability to connect and manage such relationship will determine what we become at the end of the day, or what become of the relationship, or what the relationship becomes. You know, God can, by his sovereignty and providence, you know, there are some things you cannot work out on your own. There are some things you cannot, for example, the blessing of marriage, sometimes it's not by how smart you are. God just sovereignly, by providence, bring you and cross that person you should marry. It's not because you know how to talk. It's not because you are smart. But God just did that. Am I correct? Look at Ruth. Alright? When he was to connect, she was to connect Boaz. She had every reason not to be connected. So God brought Ruth to Boaz by providence, am I correct? By sovereignty. But understand that what became of that relationship did not end in divine providence or sovereignty. It was a function of the wisdom that Ruth learned on how to connect and make it work. And that's where mentorship comes in. I don't know, I keep zeroing everything on stuff like this. Because you remember that Naomi actually gave Ruth some tutelage. That when God finally, by providence or sovereignty, brings you in contact with Boaz, this is how to behave. It may not look like a 15-hour discourse on relationship. But as simple as those few statements from Naomi to Ruth were, they were guidelines on how Ruth can make a success out of the favor of relationship that God brought her into. So don't be too quick to say Ruth succeeded because God favored her alone. Understand that the favor of God began the process, but the wisdom of Ruth made it happen. Somebody listening to me this morning, because that's why we come to church.
God will favor you. God will open some doors for you. You will meet somebody that you will never have met by your own strength. But don't forget, that is not enough. You will marry the person you don't qualify for. But don't forget, that is not. Why do I say that? That's not enough. Why do I say that you marry somebody you don't qualify for? I believe that is true. Some sisters will get to marry some. I'm not saying those sisters are worthless. All of us have worth, we have value. But in my few years of pastoring, I believe some sisters will marry some brothers that, left, if you look at them, they don't qualify. And I'm saying that with all sense of responsibility. I am not saying they are worthless. I am not saying they are bad. But I'm saying everybody that knows them know that for this sister to have married this brother, it must be an act of God. That even fellow sisters are either envious or using her as a point of contact. I say, Father, you that this sister Demola's own, do my own. Hallelujah. But my business this morning is not to be praying favor on you, or now to connect as a sister in that kind of divine favored marriage. But my job this morning is to teach you how to make it work. Is somebody listening to me? Oh, somebody said, I received that in Jesus' name. The kind of relationship I don't qualify for. Whether it is marital, whether it is ministry, whether it is job, whether it is career. Some of you business people will meet somebody that will turn your business around. You don't qualify for it. You are not on Google. You are not on, you may get on those platforms, but it is not because they saw you online, but God just had the way of bringing them in contact with your life. But the question is, when God does his part, will you do your part? Do you understand? When God does his part, will you do your part? The next point I want to share is the fact that relationship skill or ability, the relationship skill or ability to initiate. What do I mean by relationship skill? Ability to initiate, build, and sustain thriving relationship is perhaps the most important skill in the school of success and destiny. You may need to write that down. I'm going to take time to say it about two or three times so that you will get it. Relationship skill, meaning the ability to initiate, build, and sustain thriving relationships, is perhaps the most important skill in the school of success and destiny. You know, we talk about skill acquisition. Most of you are young people. One of the things they tell young people in this phase of their life is to have skill. Am I correct? They even tell you this. They will tell you that your certificate is not enough. 2-1 first class, biology, mechanical, industrial, physics, electronics, all those kind of law, accounting is not enough. Go and acquire what skill. Am I correct? But can I quickly say that as much as it's important you acquire skill in practical things like software development, am I correct? Java, coding, is that not what they tell you now? Computer appreciation, computer whatever. Alright? Accounting softwares and all of that. Understand that there is a kind of skill that you must also acquire. And that is relationship skill. And to my mind, that is perhaps the most important skill you can ever have. Because you can be a software guru and a relationship failure. Your software guru-ness will still not take you far. You can be a wizard on the keyboard, but you are a cantankerous person. That will still make a mess of your destiny. So as it is important that you develop all of those skills, in fact, I think in management, they have given it a name. They call it soft skill. How many of you have heard of that before? So skills can be hard skill and what? Soft skill. And employers now, they are not only looking for hard skills. They are looking for soft skills. In fact, employers prioritize soft skill above hard skill. And I will explain. Because soft skill takes time to develop. Hard skill can be developed. Just go for a 3-month training, you have developed hard skill. So an employer will rate your value to the organization more about your soft skill than your hard skill. Because they believe that if you have soft skill, it will be easy for them, alright, to help you develop hard skill. Maybe you need to take note of this. A man who does not have soft skill find it difficult to acquire hard skill. Because you need soft skill to acquire hard skill. Somebody is trying to teach you what you don't know, but you don't know how to relate well with that person. The person will be pissed off and allow you to go and fail. So if you know how to acquire soft skill, you will find it easier to acquire hard skill. So employers will rather prefer somebody who have hard skill or who has hard skill or soft skill than somebody who has hard skill. So they call it soft skill for us. These are skills that you cannot see, you cannot hold, but it defines the way of life of people. Relationship building is one of those. It's a soft skill. Leadership skill is one of those. It's a soft skill. But this morning, I want to just narrow it down on that relationship skill. I said it is perhaps, and I'm saying it with all sense of importance and responsibility, it is perhaps the most important skill in the school of success and destiny. Praise the Lord. So what should that tell you? Like Proverbs chapter 4 verse 6 and 7 or 7 and 8 tells us, it said wisdom is the principal thing, therefore what? Get wisdom. He said, with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Relationship skill is the principal thing. Therefore, get relationship skill. In all your getting, get what? Relationship skill. And getting relationship skill or acquiring relationship skill begins by you assessing where you are on a relationship ladder. It begins by you assessing where you are. You assess it with every sense of sincerity. You are not trying to deceive yourself or deceive anybody. Where am I as far as relationship skill is concerned? Where am I? Do I even understand what relationship is in the first place? Number two, the relationships that God has sovereignly brought across my way over the years, how have I fared in such relationships? Then number three, the relationships I am currently inside of or into, how have I fared in them? Then number four, how open am I to get better at relating with people? That to me is very important. How open am I to get better? When people are pointing my attention to lapses in my relationship, do I get angry with them? Or do I take it up as a challenge to get better? When I see how some stuff has been messed up in my life because of my lack of relationship skill, do I blame the devil or blame anybody? Or do I take it as a challenge to learn what I have not learned? Or to improve on my approach to relationships? Praise the Lord. And I want to quickly explain what a successful relationship is. These are my preamble introduction, but it's not really introduction. I think it's the heart of the teaching. Are you getting something? So when is a relationship, what do you mean by relationship success? A relationship is successful when it fulfills God's purpose for it in our lives. Because for everybody that God brings across your way, there is a purpose for it. Did you get that now? That you are able to get money out of somebody's pocket does not mean that you have succeeded in relating with that person. So a relationship is successful when it fulfills God's purpose for it in my life or in our lives. Or when I fulfill God's purpose inside of it. So that also brings up this important statement that you must catch a glimpse into God's purpose for every relationship that He brings you in contact with. You must catch a revelation of God's purpose for every relationship that He brings you in contact with. And I use the word every relationship. You can have a maid or a house girl at home That is a form of relationship. But I pray that God will open your eyes to see the reason why that house girl is in your house. Now, the moment you catch a divine revelation behind a relationship, it will change your attitude and approach towards that relationship. Am I correct? When you have a house girl at home by revelation, you will not treat her or him, or if he's a house boy, the same way an average African or Nigerian treats house girl. Do you have who does in the house? An average Nigerian or African treats house girl as a material, as a piece of item at home. They don't treat them as human being. I'm not saying every house, I say an average. So do you understand? They treat them as an item. To them, they don't exist. They only exist when they are to be used, just like a television set. If you are the time you are not married to television, you may not even press it. But okay, I want you listening to news. You now remember that I have a television as it were. That's the way some people treat their housemaid. I didn't say housewife. Maybe. Some people even treat their housewives that way. They treat them as a thing. I'm telling you, the way they went to buy furniture into the house, they went to buy the girl too from her village, paid her bride price and bought her. And that's why some families have started rejecting bride price. Something like that. I said some families, though, not all families. They will tell you that we are not selling our daughter. Hallelujah. And there's a particular tribe in this country that they pay heavily for bride price. Hallelujah. And maybe that is the reason why they don't treat their wives well. After you labored for years to gather bride price, you went to pay it, and the lady is now doing something. You give her, you know how much I spent on you. Alright, so that's why it's not good to monetize. In fact, some fathers or parents is a business. You have 5 girls, you are a billionaire. You are a billionaire. So you tell the guy, part of our modus operandi in this house is that you must build a house for us before you take our daughter. I've seen all of those around. Part of the requirements. You must have a family house in the village. All my children are girls, so God gave them to me as a means of livelihood. If they were guys, they would have gone to the city to go and make money. But they are girls, so the people that are making money will come to them. So the money we cannot make, normally we'll make it via the exchange. So when such people marry their wives, they begin to treat her as an item because they actually bought her. Ladies, you are not bought. Say, I'm not bought. Hallelujah. So when you understand God's purpose for every, I'm saying this with all sense of importance. I say every, whether marital, as common as simple as oga at the top to housemaid kind of relationship. If you don't understand the why, or maybe the divine why, you won't make it successful. Maybe God brought that housemaid into your life for the salvation of that housemaid, or for the rescue of the destiny of that housemaid. I have seen some ogas or bosses that understand that, and they take it upon themselves to pour life into that young girl. Some of them even go as far as sending that girl to the same school that they are sending their own children. Some of them relate with that girl that if an outsider comes, he may not even differentiate between their own children and that girl. Because they understood that maybe God brought this girl into our life so that he can use us to rescue our destiny. But if they don't know, I want to give you a scriptural example. 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman. Naaman's wife had a house girl, or Naaman as a housemaid, alright, that I believe the reason why God brought her into Naaman's family is so that she can become a connection to Naaman's healing sometime in the future. Because that girl came from the place that the prophet, so he understands the things of God. She may not have money, she may not understand biology, she may not understand medicine. I'm sure they must have taken Naaman to the vet of hospitals. This girl had nothing to put to that discussion because she doesn't have that exposure. But where she was coming from, she has seen the power of God move. Amen. She has seen a prophet in Israel that by the power of God in his life, Cleansing a man of leprosy is the easiest thing for him. So that faithful day, the lady, the young girl said, "Master," she told her wife, and she told her boss, the woman, that "I wish that my master will just hearken to my voice and let us go and meet Joseph prophet and all of those." Of course, thank God that pride, you know, when you are in problem, you want to just do anything. Even when they have gone to the best of hospital and they're not getting the result, let us listen to what this maid is saying. But what if they are listening to her much earlier? Maybe she would not have, they would not have stayed too long in that predicament. So I catch a rebel, and that's why as God brings us into relationship or bring relationships to our life, we must keep praying, "Lord, show me why." I mean every kind of relationship, whether temporary relationship, that you are working with somebody in an organization, or you bought a vehicle with somebody, as transient as that relationship is, we may need to ask God, "Why?" And as permanent as marital relationship, ask God, "Why? Why did I marry this brother? Why did I marry this sister? What is your purpose for bringing us together? Show me who this person is in destiny, and show me what he is or she is in my life." Because you cannot treat somebody correctly until you catch a revelation of who that person is. The reason why we maltreat, mistreat, in whatever form you want to call it, ourselves is because we don't relate based on revelation. We relate based on the flesh. We relate based on circumstances. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And that's why Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16. He said, "From now on, know we no man after the flesh. Even though before now we have known Christ after the flesh, but now we know him no more after the flesh." Verse 17 now says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature." I know most times we jump to verse 17. But verse 16 tells us that there is a revelation that people must have about people. He said, "From now on." He said, "Before now we have known Christ after the flesh. But from now on, we know him no more after the flesh." So the moment we begin to not know him after the flesh, we begin to enjoy the blessing that relationship is. Did you get what I said? If you see Christ as a carpenter, the highest you will get from him is to help you make your stool. Even though that same carpenter has the capacity to heal your diseases. I'm telling you. But that is what you have known him to be, a carpenter. You have known him after the flesh. So because of that fleshy knowledge of the person, you have reduced your encounter with that person to fleshy things. Hallelujah. And you know in Matthew 16, Jesus began to ask his disciples. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Am I correct? If you read from verse 15, maybe to verse 18 or something like that. Alright? People begin to say, "You are this, you are that." But God asked them, Jesus asked them, "But who do you say I am?" So that means your revelation about people is personal. Amen. Everybody can be relating with the same person in different way. Revelation of who we are relating with is personal. Because Jesus came to the cross of the matter. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say you are this, some say you are that. Jesus said, "No, I don't bother what the people say I am, but you, who am I?" And while some of them were still racking their brain, the Holy Ghost, as it were, came upon Peter, and suddenly, for the first time, Peter caught a revelation of who Christ was. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Actually, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father who is in heaven." And that was the day that the destiny of Peter started to happen. May your destiny not stop in Jesus' name. Some people's destiny has been crippled because of ignorance. God brought a savior into their life and they are still wallowing in their messes. So the moment Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "From now, I want to tell you who you are by destiny." I say, "You are Peter." Hallelujah. Say, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So Jesus began to communicate the depths of his destiny to him, because he caught a revelation of who, because the reason is that if Peter never knew who Jesus was, it doesn't matter the revelation of his destiny, who amount to it. So Jesus had to wait, as it were, for him to catch that personal revelation before he now tells him, let me tell you who you are. Since you now know who I am, I will tell you who you are. Then the two of us can now start functioning vitally in destiny. If you don't know who I am, and I tell you who you are, you will still not fulfill your destiny. Praise God. May the Lord grant us revelation. And I'm talking about every kind of, you know, every kind of relationship. You know, I used the word personally. I said, if you don't understand God's purpose for a relationship, or if you don't know how to measure a successful relationship, you might think that because you are getting money, I use that statement, and the Holy Spirit want me to re-emphasize it again, because you are getting money out of that person, it must have been a successful relationship. Now, who told you that it is money that God wants to get from that relationship? But because you don't even know, so since I'm getting money, you are going to the bank every now and then, the person is greasing your hand, like they say, you are happy. Oh, this relationship is the best relationship, bro. You are missing a lot. Hallelujah. But you might not be getting money from a relationship, but you are getting destiny. You might not be getting money from a relationship, but you are getting destiny. So if you put money ahead of purpose, you will miss out on the purpose. In fact, as a matter of principle, when God brings a wealthy or financially successful person in my way, I immediately, as a matter of principle, not make my relationship with that person based on money. Immediately. If I need money, I won't ask the person that has the money, because I don't want to block the real deal. And I have quite a number of them in my life. Hallelujah. I've had quite a number of them. Of course, it doesn't mean that they won't be a blessing to you financially, but what you need in their life sometimes is beyond money. Some of them, their wisdom, like they tell us in life, in School of Success, that when you meet a rich man, what you need from a rich man is not the riches or the money of the rich man, but the wisdom of the rich man. You know, if you meet Dangote, and Dangote gives you an option, should I give you 50 million or should I make you my friend? What would you choose? That's a hard question. Am I correct? Is it not a hard question? But I can predict what about 98% of an average Nigerian will choose. 50 million that we country. Hallelujah. You know, I can predict they will pick money. I'm telling you, for 50, but they don't understand that if Dangote or whoever makes me his friend, oh boy, number one, I can get or I may get multiples of 50 million, but even if I don't get money at all, I will get something that will give me more money than me. Did you get what I said? A young pastor came to meet my father in the Lord, Reverend Areogun, and then my father-in-law asked him to come and preach for him in his church. And God's servant said, well, I will not be able to make it to your program. Or I think he was asking him, what would you actually want? Must I come and preach for you, or can we have a relationship? Because he said, do you understand that what do you want? Is it that I come and preach for you, or that we have a relationship? You know what the guy said? Sir, please come and preach for me. My dad said, you are not wise. I said, I won't come and preach for you. You know, he's blunt. He won't. I said, you are not wise. Amen. Because some people say, come and preach for me so that everybody will know that Pastor Demola is a big man. Amen. But someone said, come and, can we have a relationship? Because the relationship will supply you some underground wisdom and graces that will make room for your external success. He is looking for external success. Let me put poster, ministry, Reverend Olushola, Reverend, coming to Destiny Park Church. Everybody be say, oh. But say, relationship. So he lost the two. He didn't come to preach for him, and of course, he didn't have a relationship. Let me give you the Ten Commandments. Are you ready? I will do this in the next 10 minutes. Is somebody getting something? So I should know why God brought me into every relationship. So the first commandment of successful relationship is that you must understand what relationship is. And know that no relationship will ever leave you the same. You must understand what relationship is and also know that no relationship will leave you the same. Because of time, I won't belabor that statement because I've tried to explain to you what relationship actually is. But I want to emphasize that second part that says no relationship leaves you, will ever leave you the same. Relationship are supposed to do something for us or to us. Relationship are supposed to either do something for us or to us. Relationships that do something for us are those relationships that help our life. Relationships that do something to us are those relationships that hurt our life. So no relationship will leave you the same. You are where you are today because of the relationships you have kept and their impact in your life, negative or positive. 1 Corinthians 15:33. He said, don't be deceived. Evil communication or evil relationship corrupts good manner. So everybody has got good manners in them, but if they relate badly, the good manner in them will be corrupted. Some people started very well in life, but because they have mixed themselves with wrong people, the goodness and the good stuff in them began to get corrupted. The Bible says Ephraim has mixed himself with the nations. He said, leave him alone. Now John is sent to idol. He said, leave him alone. Hallelujah. So understand what relationship is. Can I really say this morning that there is a difference between association and relationship? Association can be by force, but relationship is never by force. Relationship is a choice. What do I mean? There are some associations you will necessarily have to find yourself in, whether you want it or not. National Association of Ondo Students, or something like that. How many of you have heard that before? For some of you, do you understand? Or Association of Physics Students, Association of Mechanical Engineering Students. You can't help it because you are a physics student, you have to be in that association, am I right? You have to sometimes attend their meetings depending on how compulsory they make it. Do you understand? You have to pay their dues, am I correct? But understand that you must not translate association into relationship unknowingly. So who is this guy in your house? Ah, we belong to the same association, but that, has it crossed to relationship? So you have a choice. There are some people that the best you can do after the meeting, association meeting is over, that's all. We will meet next week. But there are some people that beyond that association, it graduates into a relationship. Are you following me? But don't be ignorant as to confuse both of them. Landlord association. In the association, there will be pastors who are landlord, there will be occultists who are landlord. Am I correct? But they will have to associate. Amen. Because of the fact that they are all landlords. But it would be wrong for a pastor to say, do you understand? Since we are all adding, do you understand? We now want to become friends. It's not going to be possible. To know relationship leaves you the same. Proverbs 13 verse 20, the Bible says, he that walks with the wise will become wise, and a companion of fools shall be greatly destroyed. Proverbs 13 verse 20, he that walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools shall be greatly destroyed. Second, number two, learn to discern. Learn to discern and define relationship. I've talked about discernment in my teaching. I've used various examples to talk about. Learn to discern and define every relationship you find yourself into. I've talked about discernment, knowing why. Definition is telling yourself and whoever is involved the limits and the dimension of the relationship. Brother, we are all landlords in this environment. It doesn't mean that you should come and be spending the night in my house. Or come and visit me every time. Once we are done with landlord association, what it so that's that means you are defining it. Do you understand? You are defining it. Because a relationship you don't define, you have given it permission to interfere with your life. A relationship you don't define, you have given it permission to interfere with your life. As a sister, when a brother is camping around you by the virtue of exposure of association with that church, with that campus or workplace, alright, don't be too naive as to submit gullibly to that person. Define it. We are done with service. So this one that you are still trying to, what's happening? Praise God. And you must not work in assumption. You must not work in what? Assumption. Okay, still on that point of designing and defining relationship, learn to categorize and compartmentalize people in your life. Please write it down. Still in that number two point of designing and defining relationship, I said, learn to categorize and compartmentalize people and their relationships in your life. Our problem is that we generalize everybody. God is never a generalist. God compartmentalizes and categorizes people. There is a way God treats the nation of Israel from the rest of the world. Alright? Even in God's interpersonal one-on-one relationship with men, He categorizes them. So we also must learn from the wisdom of God by not generalizing people. Everybody is not the same to you. That's very important, because in our attempt to be in the good book of people, in our attempt to be sincere, we generalize everybody. There are some people that you must not have a hug with them. There are some people that they must not enter your sitting room. And you know there are some people that can enter your bedroom. I'm sure you know that. I am sure you know that. Some people, the best they can ever get to is at your gate. You open the gate for them, and you transact. Do you understand? Some people, they will enter your compound and they will stand there for 10 minutes. That's about the one they will go back. Some people will say, let me go and bring chair. You go and bring chair from this. That's another level. Some will say, hey, Wole, come inside now. Am I correct? They sit down. 5 minutes. Some of them will say, can we offer you drink? You go and bring juice for them. That's another level. Amen. Some people, when they finish drinking the juice, they should leave the cup in the sitting room. They must not carry it to your kitchen. That's one level. Some have the allowance to carry it to your kitchen. Hallelujah. And why some can enter your bedroom? But that's almighty level. So that the pastor says, some people can enter my bedroom. Do you understand what I mean? Some people are like, they can enter. My father and the Lord, as secretive or as, not secretive, as highly placed that he said, there are some people that can enter his bedroom among his folks, but not everybody. That he said he can be in church and send somebody, give somebody key to go and pick something from him, for him, in his bedroom. He may have that privilege, oh boy. But you know, he didn't just choose them by abracadabra. They have worked with them. And it's not partiality, it's just sense and wisdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's get to understand that. You know, you can be traveling and your next born neighbor does not know. But your friend in Port Harcourt, you are in Akure. Your friend in Port Harcourt knows that you are traveling. But your next born neighbor did not know. That's relationship categorization. Am I saying live an isolated life? No, I'm saying there is a relationship you can have with your neighbor that does not permit you to tell him everything about your life. Now, even for the sake of courtesy and security, you can say, well, we're traveling, we should be back later next week. You don't have the right to say, we are traveling to Dubai, so when we run Dubai, we'll leave Dubai, we'll go to so and so, then we'll do this one, then. Praise God. Very important. Learn to compartmentalize people. And for every young man in the opposite sex relationship, there are five kinds of women in your life. Number one is your mother. Number two is your sister, if you have one, younger or elder. Number three is your wife. Number four is your daughter. Number five is another woman. Praise God. And the five of them are different. And you must relate with them differently.
If you treat your wife the same way you will have treated another woman, you don't understand. Do you understand? There is a way you should treat your mother. Amen. As simple as this statement is, some people are at fault on that. Amen. Some over-treat their mother, under-treat their wife. Some over-treat their wife and under-treat their mother. Everything must be in measures. Say measures. And you know, some over-treat their daughter and under-treat their wife. Do you understand? So it must be in measures. So your wife, your mother, first of all, your sister, in that order of when they entered your life, not order of importance. The Holy Spirit will tell you how you channel the importance. Do you understand? When the order of how they came into your life, without your mother, you can't know your wife. Am I correct? And maybe without your sisters, who have contributed to your life one way or the other. Do you understand? And of course, your wife will stay with you for life. Your mother will still go at her old age. So don't jeopardize the relationship with your wife because of your mother. Some people are married to two people. Married to the wife. The mother is the first wife. In fact, some mother say, Oh, call me. Tell your mother, I am not your call. See your call dear. You know, you may know how to call me. That's fine if it will just stop at that language. But if it now goes into saying, Imola Wale, I'm going to spend 3 days at home. What about my wife? I hope you don't do it. I won't let us. Praise God. I've given you two. I think I should stop here. Okay, let me mention the eight of them. The remaining eight, I won't explain them. Number three. Okay, number three is what I've just said. Categorize and compare. That's number three. Number four, understand the spirit dimension of relationship. There's always a spirit flow. You are getting wisdom, getting crookedness. You do something, but you don't know the reason why they are more cruel than they were in 2018. Because somebody has entered their life that is manifesting cruelty around them. Do you understand? So there's always a spirit flow. Number five, learn to have a giver's mentality, not a taker's mentality. It don't matter the kind of relationship. Learn to be a giver. I mean mentality. It doesn't mean that you will slave yourself and be giving. Giving is first of all a mentality. Do you understand? So that means that when you see somebody, see him as somebody that you are to give or bless. First of all, not somebody that is to bless you. But invariably, the person will end up blessing you or giving to you. But your approach and mentality must be that of a giver, not a taker. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35 and Luke 6:38, he said give and it shall be given to you. So if you don't give, don't expect it to be given to you. Number six, differentiate between friendliness and friendship. Learn to differentiate between friendliness and friendship. We are meant to be friendly with people, but not necessarily their friends. In fact, don't use the word friends casually. That's what the Holy Spirit always tell me. Don't use it. Don't say, come and meet my friend. No. Say, come and meet my classmates. Amen. Amen. Come and meet a member of our church. Hallelujah. Come and meet one of the landlords in our street. Come and meet my neighbor. Come and meet the guy I met inside camp. But our generation, we are quick to say, come and meet my friend. Is that not what we say? But friendship is powerful. So, differentiate between friendliness and friendship. We are expected to be friendly with people, but not necessarily their friends. And please, don't confuse both. On our own part, when people are friendly to us, let us not assume they are our friends. So don't be too quick to call somebody your friends, or else you will establish a bridge in the spirit. That's powerful, but not for today. The moment you call somebody your friend, you have established a bridge between yourself and that person in the spirit. Do you know that before Jesus started calling disciples friends, it took some time? I'm sure you know that. Because some people have been even just call disciples friends. Is it at the beginning of their ministry? They a point where they say, people have gone with me to a level. We can transact in the spirit. So I no longer call you servant, I call you friend. That means he was calling them servant before. Am I correct? Because if he said, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend, is that he was calling them servant before. But as they related, they now came to a level that he now calls them friends. So if Jesus Christ will not use friends casually, then why should we use friends casually?
You can be friendly with sinners, but you don't have to be their friend. I need to understand this one, so that you won't think that I'm saying that don't be a people's friend. You can be friendly, you can go well with people, greet them, smile, you know, but be very careful to John 15:14. That was why I said all that. So that means that even in a relationship building, we must all be friendly. The fact that somebody is not your friend does not mean that he's your enemy. Did you get what I said? The opposite of friend is not enemy. That's my own definition. The opposite of friend is not enemy. I hope that's clear to somebody. So that means if somebody is not your friend, it doesn't mean that he's your enemy. Is it difficult for you to understand? So that means that even that person that is not your friend, you should be friendly with the person. You must not give that person reason to start doubting. Does he want to harm me? Does he hate me? The fact that I'm not your friend doesn't mean that she hates you. But I must not also give you that hint to make you think that I hate you, because I am not posturing. And somebody can be your friend and you're not friendly with that person. That is also not good. The person might not know what is up between you and that person. Proverbs 18:24. He that has many friends must show himself friendly. Proverbs 18:24. Number 7. Understand the power of access and treat it with wisdom. That's understandable, right? Understand the power of what? Access and treat it with wisdom. Never make a mess of privileged access. Some access are privilege. It's not that you merit it. It's not that you are smart. It's not that you are spiritual. It's not that you are anything. Oh, Lord, God just gave you that opportunity and privilege. In fact, let me say it this way. Treat every access as a privilege, even if it does not look like it. Do you understand? Treat every... One thing I always tell my friends is that it's a privilege knowing you. And I say it with all my heart. In fact, the way I talk sometimes, some of them feel as if I'm saying, because I know what I'm saying. If I have to do something for a friend and they want to thank me to eternity, I'll say, sir, it is a privilege. Because if I don't do it, other person will have done the same. And even do better. Do you understand? So treat every access as a what? No matter how normal. Because our problem is that we commonize divine things. Is it not, my friend? Is it not? Every access. So when you begin to treat it as a privilege, you gain wisdom to manage it. Because access is better than assets. Access is what? Think of you 50 million of Dangote and relationship. Have you read the go on? Do you understand? Write that statement down. Access is better than assets. Access will give you what assets cannot give you. You can be stranded in life with assets, but you cannot be stranded in life with access. You can have all the money in this world and your destiny will not fly. But you may not have as much as other people, but your destiny is making progress because you have some accesses that they don't have. There are some places you get into that they won't welcome you because you have money, but because of the access. Praise God. Number 8, understand emotional intelligence in building relationships. This one is another topic entirely. Alright, I hope to discuss it during Leaders Arise. So, I encourage you to be there. Understand emotional intelligence in building relationships. And in this case, learn what I call sympathy and empathy. Alright? You can't win with people if you don't have these two. Alright? I even want to emphasize empathy, because sympathy is feeling for people. Empathy is feeling with people. Alright? Sympathy is what feeling for people. You just feel for them. Sorry, you pity people, but you don't find yourself in their shoe. Alright? But if you want to win with people, be somebody who can empathize. Who can feel with people? Who can enter into people's shoe? Hebrews 4:15-16 said, we do not have an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So when we are sick, Jesus did not only become our healer, he feels the same sickness with us. Am I correct? So empathy is important. It will help you to have way with people. Number 9, learn to grow personally if you want to grow your relationship. Because your personal growth is the bane of your relationship growth. The bulk of the problem people have in relationship is not really the relationship, it's their own growth. If you grow better, you will fare better in relationship. I'm sure you know that. Some people, they have not grown. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to be patient. They don't know how to... Do you understand? And because of that, it's affecting their relationship and they are blaming the devil. But the more they grow and get better, spiritually, mentally, and in all areas, the better it will be for whatever relationship they are in. So as you go about trying to develop your relationship, don't forget to develop yourself personally. Because you are going to give color to every relationship you find yourself. You are going to give what? To every relationship you find yourself. 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul said, when I was a man, I spoke as a man, I thought as a man, I understood as a man. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I became a man, when I was a child, but when I became a man, I put away side distance. So don't blame the devil, don't blame people, rather ask yourself, no matter what ensued between me and people, one thing I always do is to go back to myself and say, where did I get it from? Where can I get better? I do it almost every time, up till yesterday. No matter what goes wrong, no matter. Even if this person, even there is only 1,000,001 blame on this person, I will leave the person to himself. And I won't say, I will have to go come back and say, okay, let's say this person is at fault. Where am I at fault also? But if you always have the mindset that you are the only one that is right, every other person is wrong, you won't succeed with people. Some people will be wrong, but don't push the blame on them. Come back to yourself and say, okay, where did I, how should I have handled this matter, even if this person did not do well? Because the person did not do well must not be the reason why you did not do well. The reason why you did not do well is because you are lacking somewhere. So your preoccupation is how to measure up in areas where you are lacking, not to be blaming the person for where he's lacking. And this will help you in every kind of relationship. Do you understand? Number 10. You must learn to put purpose before emotion in every relationship. You must learn to put what? Purpose before emotion in every relationship. I hope that is clear. That's number 10. You must learn to put purpose ahead of what? Emotions. In every what? Relationship. What does that mean? Don't be sentimental. Even though relationships involve emotion. Am I correct? You are going to empathize. You are going to love people. You are going to... But don't put purpose behind. Let purpose guide your relationship with people. There are some people that you don't even feel like going out with. I'm not talking about boy and girl now. I'm talking about, you know, but you know there's a purpose behind your coming together. So even if chemistry is not happening, purpose can help the relationship until chemistry takes over. Did you get what I said? Now what I said is a $1,000,000 statement, that even if chemistry is not happening, you know what they call chemistry in relationship? If you understand that there's a purpose for this relationship, that purpose will keep the relationship going until chemistry takes over. So what does that mean? Chemistry is important in every relationship. But there are some times that you don't have chemistry originally or first of all, but there is purpose. So let that purpose sustain your connection with that person until chemistry takes over. Is that clear to somebody? Let's stand to our feet. So don't be emotional, don't be sentimental, even though we will have emotions. In fact, we have emotion and sentiment. It's normal. But it must kill behind purpose. After purpose has been sorted and settled, then we now have emotion. Let's stand to our feet. How many of you know the reason why Jonathan loved David, or David loved Jonathan with all of his heart, and even the love I have for you is more than the love of women? Have you heard that before in your Bible? That is emotion. But it didn't start that way. It was purpose that began it. Do you understand? Because Jonathan knew that God has brought David into his life for a purpose. Am I correct? He said, I know that David shall be king, and I shall be next unto him. So it was that purpose that now helped them to muster all their emotions together. So the lesson here is that don't pour your emotion into something that purpose is not yet defined. But once you find purpose, my brother, pour emotion. And at every junction that emotion is trying to override on purpose, check. I said, no. Purpose. So purpose must always be the leader. At the beginning, at the middle, and as the relationship continues, purpose must always be the leader. The Lord will help us. Did you get something this morning? This service started by a song that the Holy Spirit placed on my spirit. Said, we have come to draw. And this morning, I want you to raise your hands to God and say, Lord, as I have come to learn at your feet, I draw this wisdom now into my life. Wisdom has been shared. Whether it is shared and it's in the atmosphere or it's inside your book, does not mean that it's inside your heart and life. So the prayer we are praying this morning as we prepare our offering is to say, Lord, I draw this wisdom. I draw it. I make it my reality. I make it my reality. I make it my reality. I draw this wisdom. I draw this grace. I draw this understanding. I make it my reality.
in life and in destiny. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Is there anyone listening to this teaching who is not born again, wherever you are? Say this after me, or you listen to this teaching anywhere. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you this morning as my Lord and Savior. I ask that you forgive me my sin. Today, I choose to follow you as your son and as your daughter. I receive grace to live my life to please you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. So whoever has made that confession, I declare that you are saved. You are born again in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your word you have shared to us today. We receive the impartation of the same in Jesus' name. The scripture says the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Lord, the spirit and the life in this world, let it be our.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.destinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers: 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering destinies. Jesus is Lord.